We're darshan a pasuk Yeshaya Perktet pasuk Vav Lamarbei Hamisrael Shalom Inkates upon the one with greatness and dominion and boundless peace, which was a nevuah that Chizkiah would be born, who would, unlike his father, who was a rasha and who whose time was marked by war, that he would be a tzaddik whose time would be marked by peace. Amar Bitanchum Darsh Barakabar Fitzipor Mi Bnei Makom Mem Shebe Em Sativap Tuchav Zosuma. Why is every mem in the middle of a word open and this one is closed? Why is there a final mem in the middle of the word here? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu lasod Chizkiah Mashiach v'Sancheirev Gog Magog. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make Chizkiah Mashiach and Sancheirev Gog Magog. Aram Midat Adin, l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Samid Sadin said before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Sholam, Uma David Melech Yisrael Shamar Kama Shirot V'Tishpachot Lefanecha. David HaMelech, who sang many shiros in front of you. Lo asito Mashiach, you did not make a Mashiach. Chizkiah shasita l'kol nesim alalu v'lo amar l'fanecha shira. Chizkiah, for whom you did so many miracles, which we'll see in more detail today, he did not sing shira, and you should make a Mashiach. L'chach nistateim. Therefore, the mem is closed. We saw that Rashi gave three explanations for the closed mem. First, that means Hashem's plan got closed, as we would say in English, the door was slammed on it. Lashon Acher, second explanation, that Hashem wanted to close up the troubles of the Jewish people by making Chizkiah Mashiach. And third, that Chizkiah's mouth was closed up, and he did not sing Shira. The Yad Ramah, it's also a Rishon, brings a fourth explanation for the connection between the closed mem and not making Chizkiah Mashiach, and that is that the word Mashiach has an open mem, and to show that what happened is different than the word Mashiach, there's a closed mem. So we started talking about who Chizkiah was and the time period in which he lived, and I would like to talk about Chizkiah in greater detail today and begin to see why, of all people, he might deserve to be Mashiach. So we saw that in Sefer Melachim, Melachim Bet, Perek Yud Chet, that in Chizkiah's time, Sancheriv came and exiled the 10 northern tribes. So the Navi continues, Perek Yud Chet, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Ubarbara Esrei Shana Lamelech Chizkiah, Allah Sancheriv Melech Ashur, Al Kol Arei Yehudah B'tzurot V'ayit Pasem, in the 14th year of King Chizkiah, the king of Ashur, came up and on all the fortified cities of Yehuda, and he captured them. So Chizkiah, the king of Yehuda, sent a message to the king of Ashur, who was in a place called Lachish. Lemor chatati shuv me'alai, I have sinned by rebelling against you, by not subjugating myself to you. Turn away from me. Whatever you tell me, I will have carried to you. So the king of Ashur imposed on Chizkiah a ransom, essentially protection money, of 300 loaves of silver and 30 loaves of gold. Chizkiah gave all the silver and that was found in the treasury of the Beis Hamikdash and in the treasury of the king. At that time, he cut down the doors of the Beis Hamikdash. The thresholds. Asher tzipa Chizkiah melech Yehuda v'inein l'melech Ashur. That he had coded, and he gave them to the king of Ashur.
But that was considered bad.
That was considered bad. Okay. We've just started the story. Okay. That was considered bad. Okay. Mitzvot David explains why Chizkiah had coded these, because it says the coding that Shlomo HaMelech had put on, had worn off over the years. and Chizkiah had renovated them, and now he cut down the doors and gave them to the king of Ashur. Vayishlach, and the king of Ashur went away. Later, he came back. And the Pasuk says, Pasuk Yudzayin, Vayishlach melech Ashur tartan vet rav saris vet rav shakei min lachish al melech Chizkiyahu bechel kaved Yerushalayim vayelu vayavo Yerushalayim. King of Ashur sent these representatives with a large force to Yerushalayim, and they came to Yerushalayim. Vayalu, vayavo, vayamdu b'talat ha-brichal yonah. They stood in the canal of the upper pool, Asher b'misilat sedei koves, which is in a certain field. Vayikru'u el ha-melech. They called to the king, vayitzei alehem Eliakim ben Chilkiyahu. And as they're standing outside the walls of Yerushalayim, and they're calling to Chizkiyah. So Eliakim ben Chilkiyahu asher al-abayit, who was the overseer of the house, v'shevna ha-sofer, v'yoach ben Asaf ha-maskir, and the scribe and the secretary went to the walls of the city to see what Rav Shakei, the representative of Sancheirav, had to say. Vayomer alehem Rav Shakei imruna el Chizkiyahu. So he called out to them, "Speak, tell Chizkiyahu, Ko amar melech ha-gadol melech Ashur, so said the great king of Ashur, ma bitachon azer shevetachta. What is this that you have trust in, that you don't subjugate yourself to me? Amarta acht var satayim itzag v'ra l'mechama ata al mi batachta ki maradata bi. Even if you think that you have a plan, on whom are you relying to fight me? I'm the most powerful king in the world." So he goes on, "Are you relying on that weak reed of Egypt to save you? Yeah, you got to be kidding. Like, Egypt's not going to help you." Calls him a weak reed. Kaneh haratzutz. And if you'll say that we're relying on Hashem, v'chi tomrun elai el Hashem elokinu batachnu halohu sh'esir Chizkiyahu et bamotav et mizmuchotav, you, Chizkiyah, you made people stop worshiping on private altars. Rashi says, it's as if that's something bad. Rashi says that Rav Shakei, the representative of Sancheirav, was a Jew who had apostatized, and he believed that Hashem wanted these private altars. As we discussed yesterday, the Avodah Zarah, the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah, is something that we don't understand. People actually believe this. And so he's saying, how could you rely on Hashem when you've caused people to stop serving Hashem by closing down their private altars? And you told them they have to come to Yerushalayim to serve Hashem. Hashem's not going to help you. And he goes on and he says, so if you make a deal, I'll give you 2,000 horses. You don't even have enough soldiers to ride 2,000 horses. And the Sukkim continue that the representatives of Chizkiyahu called out to Rav Shakei, saying, please speak in Aramaic. Don't speak in Jewish, which presumably means Hebrew, not Yiddish like my grandmother called Yiddish Jewish. I mean, that's a literal translation of Yiddish is Jewish, but presumably he meant Hebrew. So he said, well, please speak in Aramaic. Don't speak in Hebrew, because everybody standing around can understand. And let's have a private talk. And Rav Shakei responds, no, it's exactly what I want to do. I'm trying to intimidate all the people. I want them to hear. I want them to have a say in the matter. And it says, Vayamod Rav Shakei, Vayikra b'kol gadol yudit. So Rav Shakei stood there and he called out in a loud voice in Jewish. Said, hear the word of the great king of Ashur. Don't let the king of Chizkiyahu string you along. He can't possibly save you. And don't rely on Hashem, because I'm gonna conquer you, and I'm gonna take you away to a better place where each person will sit under his vine and under his fig tree and drink from his own well. He says, has Hashem saved any of the other nations that from Sancheirav? He goes on and he blasphemes against Hashem. And Sukkim say that Eliakim Ben Chilkiyahu and Shevna HaSofer and Yoach ben Asaph, the secretary, they went back to Chizkiyahu with their clothes torn. And they told Chizkiyahu what happened, and he tore his clothes as well. That's what you're supposed to do if you hear someone blaspheme. You're supposed to tear your clothes. So that's what they did. And they sent for Yishayahu HaNavi. So Yishayahu HaNavi came, and Chizkiyahu said to him, Yom Tzarav Tucha Natsa Yom, today is a day of trouble and rebuke and cursing, because we're in trouble, this is what happened. And he goes on and tells him what happened. So Vayomer Lehem Yishayahu, Kotamrun Aladonechem, tell your master. So they went to Yishayahu, and Yishayahu sent a message back, tell your master, Chizkiyahu, Kwamar Hashem al tiram ifnei advarim asher shamata. Don't be afraid of what you heard, asher gidfu narei melech Ashur oti, that the lads of the king of Ashur blasphemed against me. Hineni notein bo ruach v'shma shmua v'shav l'artzo, v'palti v'cher b'artzo. I'm going to give him news, which is going to make him go back to his land, and there he will be killed by the sword. Okay. And what happened next is that Sancheriv got a message that the king of Cush had rebelled against him. And so he changed directions from going to attack Yerushalayim to going to fight the king of Cush. And he sent a message to Chizkiyahu saying, don't think you've won. We'll be back. Right now, right now we're distracted, but we will be back.
Question, yeah. Present Ethiopia, it was to the south.
I don't know. There's also a province called Kush in Afghanistan. I always wondered about the Gemara in Megillah, which says that Ahasuerus ruled from Hodu to Kush, which we usually translate from India to Ethiopia. And there's a machlokas in the Gemara between Rav and Shmuel. One says that Hodu and Kush are at opposite ends of the world, which would make sense. India and Ethiopia are at opposite ends of the known world in those days. And the other says that Hodu and Kush are right next to each other, and just like he ruled over two provinces that are next to each other, so too, with the same force, he ruled over the ends of the world. Where are Hodu and Kush that are? I mean, I didn't understand what he was saying. Then, when the United States went to war in Afghanistan, and we all learned more about the geography of Afghanistan, we discovered that Afghanistan has a province called Hindu Kush. And perhaps that's what Gemara is referring to. That just like he ruled over the province of Hindu Kush with great force, and it's not far from Iran, which is Persia, so too he ruled over the ends of the world. Perhaps, I don't know for sure, perhaps that's what the Gemara means when it says that Hodu and Kush are next to each other. So I don't know which Kush this is. Maybe it's neither of those. I don't know. Okay. Perek Yud Tet, Pasuk Tet Vav. We've been reading some and paraphrasing some. So it says, "Vayitpalel Chizkiyahu lifnei Hashem." Chizkiyahu davened before Hashem. Vayomer Hashem Elokei Yisrael Yosheva Kruvim Atahu Elokim Levadcha L'chom Amchot Aretz Tasit Et Shemayim Et Aretz. You alone are the King who made the heavens and earth, and you or the king over all the kingdoms. Hatei Hashem ozuncha u'shma, p'kach ha'inecha Hashem u'rei, u'shma et yivrei sencher v'asher shalachol l'charif l'kim chayim. Turn your ear and listen, open your eyes and see how Sancheriv has cursed you. And he goes on, says, Atah Hashem u'kinu hoshi'enu nam yado, save us from his hand, v'yidu kol ma'lechot ha'aretz k'ta Hashem u'kinu v'adecha. Everyone will know that you alone are the king. Now, Yishayahu already told him not to worry, but he davened that there should be a salvation from which everyone would know that Hashem is the king. We'll come back to this. It sounds like he's davening for a supernatural salvation as opposed to davening that when Sancheriv comes back, we'll go out and fight him and win. Seems to be davening for a supernatural salvation. Then Yeshayahu sends a message to Chizkiah saying that the Hashem, who you davened to, your prayer has been heard. And Hashem says, so to speak, to Sancheriv, you know, who is it that you cursed? Who is it against whom did you raise your voice? Okay. You sent your messengers to curse Hashem, and Hashem's gonna take care of you. So Lachain, Pasuk Lamed Bet, Komar Hashem. Okay, there's a whole nevuah of Yeshaya that I skipped. Lachain Komar Hashem El Melech Ashur. Therefore, so said Hashem to King of Ashur, Lo Yavol Erezot. He will not come to the city. Lo yoresh sham chetz, he will not shoot a single arrow. Lo yikadmena magen, no shield will come against it. Lo yishpoch aleha solala, he will not build a ramp to get over the walls. But derech asher yavo yashuv, the way he came, he will go back. Vila ir azot lo yavo, into this city, Yerushalayim, he will not come. Veganoti el ha'ir azot voshia l'ma'an, l'ma'ani u'l'ma'an David avdi. And I will save this city for my sake and for the sake of my servant David. Vayiba Lailahu, on that night, the night when Sancheriv came back from fighting Cush, and he came until the suburb of Nov, as we read in the Haftorah for the last day of Pesach in Chutzlars, Od Hayom Benov La'amod, he will to this day stand in Nov. That story goes together with this story, where Sancheriv came and he stood in Nov, and that very night, Vayitzei Malach Hashem Vayachba Chaneh Ashur, a Malach of Hashem went out and struck down the camp of Ashur, 185,000 soldiers. Vayashkimu Vavoker, they got up in the morning, Veni Kulam Pekarim Metim, and they were all dead. That is, those who got up in the morning, and 185,000 people were dead. Sancheriv himself was not killed. He went back to Nineveh, and Pasuk continues and relates that he was in the temple of his God, and his children killed him, and one of his sons became king in his place. So that is the miraculous salvation of Yerushalayim from Sancheriv, which we have a tradition that it happened on Pesach night, and we mentioned it in the Pesach Haggadah after Halal, all the things that happened at night. This is one of them. So that is the first miracle that happened to Chizkiah. The Pesukim then continue, Perek Chaf, Bayamim Ahem, in those days, Chalach Chizkiah Olamut, Chizkiah became deathly ill, and Yeshayahu came to him and said, write your will, because you're going to die. Chizkiah turned to the wall, vayipalel, and he davened to Hashem, and he said, "Ana Hashem zecharna et asher tlachti lefanecha. Remember how I went before you, be'emet, in truth, v'levav shalem, and with a complete heart, v'atov b'enecha asiti, and I did what is good in your eyes." Vayif Chizkiah b'chi gadol, and he cried a great cry. Vayi Yeshayahu lo yatzah chatzer tichuna advar Hashem v'ayay elav lemar. Yeshayahu had not even left the outer courtyard, and Hashem appeared to him and said, "Shuv amartel Chizkiah, go back to Chizkiah, Negid ami, the prince of my nation, Komar Hashem, okay, David Abdicha, so said Hashem, the God of David, your father, Shamati et filatecha, I heard your prayer, Reiti et imatecha, I saw your tears, Yini rofelach bayom hashlishi, tele beit Hashem. I will heal you, and on the third day, you'll already be going up to the Beis HaMikdash." We saw the Gemara where Nehemiah davened to be answered in his own merit, and I mentioned also that Chizkiah davened in his own merit and was answered in the merit of his ancestors. A person should not daven, rely on his own merit. Right? And so here you see that Hashem says, "I will save the city for my sake, Hashem's sake, and for the sake of my servant David, not for Chizkiah's sake." So he's prayed in his own merit, "Remember what I did." And we'll see in Gemara, what did he do that he's referring to? But Hashem says, I'm the God of David. I'm answering you in the merit of David. Well, and I'll go safti al yamecha chamesh shana. I will add 15 years to your life. Kumikaf melech Ashur atzilcha. I will save you from the king of Ashur. The story is a flashback. This happened a few days before the miracle, the king of Ashur. I will save this city. And I will save this city for my sake and for the sake of my servant David. These are exactly the same words as before.
What happened to the condition? Did he skip it, or the condition that he had a child?
It's not mentioned here. It's Gemara. We're going to see the Gemara. Pasuk doesn't say that.
It's not actually.
No, Pasuk doesn't say that. It says he got sick, and Yeshayahu told him, you're going to die. The Gemara says, Gemara in Brachos, that we're going to see, says that the reason why is because Chizkiah decided not to have children because he saw in Ruach HaKodesh that his son would be a Rasha, as he in fact was, and so he took it upon himself not to have children, and Yeshayahu told him, mind your own business. Your job is due to mitzvos. It's a mitzvah to have children. It's not your job to... You don't get to, you know, override the mitzvos because you think you know the future. And so the Chizkiah married Yeshayahu's daughter. They thought maybe the chus of the two of them will help. Didn't help. In fact, Menashe eventually killed his grandfather Yeshayahu. But that's what Yitzi is referring to. But it's not mentioned in the Pesukim at all. So then Chizkiah asks for a sign that he will be healed, and Yeshayahu gives him a sign that the sun went back 10 degrees. And Chizkiah was healed, and then we have a psukim that we've discussed in the shir a long time ago, where Barodach Baladan ben Baladan, the king of Bavel, heard that what happened, that Chizkiah had gotten sick and gotten better. Up until that time in history, nobody had recovered from a serious illness. And he sent him a letter, and this is where the Gemara says that Nebuchadnezzar was the scribe, and it was his day off, and the letter said, greetings to King Chizkiah and to God, and Nebuchadnezzar ran after the messenger to recover the letter and change it, say, greetings, God and King Chizkiah. We talked about that Gemara before, and we will talk about it again later in the parak. So he sent him that message, and Chizkiah took the messengers of the king of Babel and gave them a grand tour of the Beis HaMikdash. And as a result of that, it was decreed that Chizkiah's descendants, Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, would be servants to the king of Babel. And we talked about that before as well. Vayishkav Chizkiah im avotav v'yiloch min Hashem v'notachtav. And eventually, Chizkiah died. He ruled for 29 years, and his son Menashe took his place. Those are the psukim regarding in Sefer Melachim. A lot of this appears in parallel in Sefer Yeshayahu, but in Sefer Melachim Bet, that is the history of Chizkiah. So we saw that he had two great miracles that happened to him. One, this miraculous salvation from Sancheriv, that 185,000 soldiers of Sancheriv just dropped dead in the night, and the siege of Yerushalayim was lifted. And the second was that Chizkiah recovered from his serious illness. He was on his deathbed, and he recovered, which had never happened before in history. And nevertheless, he did not sing Shira to Hashem. And there, Agamar says, therefore he could not be Mashiach. The Gemara in Brachos Daf Yod elaborates on some of these incidents. Says that first we learn from here that a person should never give up hope, because see how sick Chizkiah was, and he turned to the wall and he davened. We also learn from here you should daven, if possible, facing a wall. And the and we learn from here that a person should mind his own business and do the mitzvos, As Gemara says, "Bahadei kafshan rachman alam lach." Yishayahu said to Chizkiyahu, "In these secrets of Hashem, why is it your business? My demifakdat ivay lach lemevad. You should do what you're commanded. Umadenecha kamei kuchavrichu avid, and Hashem will do what He wants to do." So Chizkiyahu says, "Give me your daughter. Maybe that's chus will protect us." And we know the end of the story. It didn't help. Menashe turned out to be a rasha. He did do tshuva. Much later in this perek, we will talk about whether Menashe has a chelik in Olam Haba, to machlokas in the Mishnah, and that's because he did do tshuva in the end, but only after he had put an idol in the Beis Hamikdash and killed his grandfather Yishayahu, Yishayahu HaNavi, prophet Isaiah. So, Mara says that so miyad v'yasef chizkiyahu panav al akir v'yipel Hashem. He turned his face to the wall and he davened to Hashem. My kir, what is the wall? Gemara darshan's from the walls of his heart. He is a very heartfelt davening, and he said, "Zechor na et asher yitalachti lefanecha. Remember how I walked before you, be'emet v'leiv shalem v'tov inecha siti, with with a full heart, and I did what is right in your eyes, what is good in your eyes. My tov veinecha siti. What does it mean? I did what is good in your eyes. Amar of Yehuda, Amar Rav, shesamach geula l'tfila. He connected geula to tfila. Now, Hashem Esrei had not been invented yet, but we use the expression to be somech geula l'tfila, that you say Baruch Ata Hashem Gaal Yisrael, and you start Shemin Esrei without interruption. That's in Shacharis, and it's very important. Somech geula l'tfila. That's why in Mincha and Mariv, the Gabbai announces Yalav Yavo, but in Shacharis he doesn't announce Yalav Yavo, because you have to be somech geula l'tfila. And that's why this story is probably why it's in Brachos, because it's connecting. This chapter in Brachos talks about, among other things, being somech geula l'tfila. So Gemara says that's what Chizkiyah did. We'll see in greater detail about that. Rabbi Levi Amar Sheganaz Sefer Rufuot. Rabbi Levi says he hid the book of medicines. They had a book where any illness that you had, you could look up the prescription, and there was no need for pharmacists. Sorry, everybody could just look it up and heal himself. Now nobody had ever recovered from being on his deathbed, but any minor ailment that they got, they looked it up and were healed. And Chizkiyahu hid that book away in order to force people to daven instead, because nobody had a need to daven. See, in both of these explanations, that a connection between Chizkiyahu and davening. Tanur Banan, Vavzri Masach Chizkiyahu Melech, Al Gimel Hodulo, Val Gimel Lo Hodulo. There were six things that he did. On three, the Chachamim agreed with him, and three they did not. Al Gimel Hodulo, Ganaz Sefer Rufot Vodulo, he hid the book of medicines, and they agreed. Kitat Nechasha Choshet, so yesterday he chopped up the copper snake that Moshe Rabbeinu had made when people were being bitten by snakes. Hashem told Moshe to make this copper snake and hold it up. The Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah says it's not the snake, not looking at the snake that heals you. It's that when you look up at the snake, you look up at God and you daven. But by Chizkiyahu's time, this snake had become an idol, and so he destroyed it. And third, Gerer Atzmat Aviv Al Mitasha Chavalim Vodulo, he dragged his father's body on a bed of ropes through the streets, and Chachamim agreed with him. His father was also a great Rasha, and as an atonement, he did that. Val Shoshah Lo Hodulo, there were three things that they did not agree with him. Satam Me Gichon, he sealed up the spring called the Gichon so that Ashur would not have water, so that Sancheirav would not have water. But Chachamim did not agree, because that was also the water supply for Yerushalayim. He cut down the doors of the Beis Hamikdash and gave them to the king of Ashur, and as Yitzi mentioned, it was not approved. And he bare Nisan b'Nisan, and he made a leap year when it was too late. That's a technical discussion about how to make a leap year. He did it wrong. And then the Gemara goes on and says what I mentioned, that a person should not daven in his own merit, he should daven in the merit of others, and it brings Chizkiah as a proof. So, also elsewhere, there's Gemara that says that in Chizkiah's time they searched from Dan to Beersheba, the entire land, Dan in the north, in the Golan Heights, and Beersheba is in the south, and every single child was completely proficient, even in the laws of Toma and Tara, of ritual purity and impurity. There's a incredible flowering of Torah learning in a time of Chizkiah. So we see an emphasis on Torah learning in time of Chizkiah. We see an emphasis on tefillah. And these, apparently, are the characteristics that made Chizkiah potentially worthy of being Mashiach. A little booklet, so little that I also find it just now, by Rav Moshe Tzvi Neria, was a Rav and Rosh Shiva in Eretz Yisrael in the 20th century. It's called Al Mishkanot HaRoim, and chapter 5 is called Tfilato Shel Chizkiyahu HaMelech, the prayer of Chizkiyahu HaMelech. And he asks, what is it about being that's so special about connecting Geula and Tfilah? So, quite simply, it expresses a great yearning for Geula, for redemption. He brings Rabbeinu Yonah, who says that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim to serve him. And by connecting Geula to Tefillah, we're not only expressing a yearning for Geula, but Tefillah, davening, is how we serve Hashem. Today we have no Beis HaMikdash. Avoda is davening. From where do we learn davening? Because it says you should serve Hashem and how in your heart. And how do you serve Hashem in your heart? Rambam brings it's davening. So connecting Geula to Tefillah shows a yearning for the redemption for the purpose of serving Hashem. Because that's what Tefillah is. Tefillah is serving Hashem. Now, right before, Rav Neria does not explicitly mention our Gemara, but it about that Chizkiah could not be Mashiach because he didn't sing Shira. But it all fits in so perfectly because he points out that what do we say right before Gal Yisrael in Shacharis? Don't have a sitter handy. But we say, Shira Chadasha Shibchu Geulim Shimcha Salayam. Those who were redeemed sang a new song to you. Right? And that leads in that, then we express Hashem as Gal Yisrael. And then we daven. So this idea of yearning for the geula, for the purpose of serving Hashem, the very first time it was expressed by the generation that left Mitzrayim, it was expressed through Shira Chadasha, through a new song, referring to Az Yashir. Okay. But you see the connection between Shira and geula. He goes on and he says that the way to Geula is through Torah learning. And as I mentioned, in the time of Chizkiyahu, Torah learning flowered. Every child knew even the complex laws of Tuma and Tara. And the purpose of Geula, the way to Geula is through Torah, and the purpose of Geula is to be able to sing to Hashem, to serve Hashem, again, through song. And when Chizkiah, as we saw, when Chizkiah, as well, he hid the book of medicines. His entire goal was to cause people to daven. People didn't have as much of a need to daven because they could, you know, go on the equivalent of Wikipedia in those days, or WebMD or whatever, and find a cure immediately for anything, and no need to daven. So what Chizkiah did was very much directed towards davening. Rav Kook, in his commentary on Brachos Ein Ayah, talks about this as well. Something very interesting about bitachon, about having trust in Hashem. There is a level of having trust in Hashem where a person says, everything's in the hands of Hashem. I'm going to sit back and not do anything because Hashem will take care of it. Rav Kook says that's not the highest level of bitachon. The highest level of bitachon is exactly the opposite. And this ties into this week's parsha, in fact. It says in this week's parsha that don't say, kochi v'otzem yadi, the strength of my hand, asali et achaya l'azem, made me all of this wealth. But rather, you should know, ki Hashem hu anotein l'cha koch l'asot chayel. It's Hashem who gives you the strength, the power to do great things. The highest level of bitachon is to go to work and to invest in the stock market and to do all of these things, and to know that every good decision you've ever made came from Hashem. If you make the right investment, if you pick the right career, if you, you know, make a lot of money, it all came from Hashem. And to know that, and it says that v'yadata ki Hashem hu anotein lecha koach lasot chayal. It's Hashem who gives you the power to do great things. Pasuk doesn't say it's Hashem who did the great things. It's Hashem who gave you the ability to do the great things.
And the decision.
That's not what the pasuk says. So that's a separate discussion. The pasuk there is talking about not being a Baal Gaiva. Nobody was ever a Baal Gaiva from saying, I made such a bad decision yesterday. I'm so brilliant. I made such a bad decision, right? So that's not what the Pasuk is talking about. Pasuk is talking about the good decisions you make. They came from Hashem. You also have to be careful not to blame your bad decisions on Hashem. It's a separate discussion. Let's leave it. Okay, separate discussion. So that's the highest level, but it's not a level for everybody, that most people are not quite ready to acknowledge that all the good decisions that they ever made came from Hashem. So when Chizkiah was somech geula l'tfila, he was essentially saying, this ties into the psukim we read, I want to see a miracle. Personally, Chizkiah was on a level where he could have gone out to fight a battle and won and attributed it to Hashem. But the rest of the Jewish people were not on that level. And therefore, Chizkiah said, I want to see a miracle. And that's why he put away the book of medicines. And that's why in the psukim that we read, he asked for a sign that he's going to miraculously be cured and that Sancheirov will miraculously be defeated. And all of that is included in the idea of being somech geula l'tfila, connecting the redemption to your tfila, that you daven for a miracle and a miracle happens. Our Gemara doesn't say why Chizkiah deserved to be Mashiach. And we'll see some Mefarshim who gives some ideas, but I think you have to understand it in the context of the Gemara Brachos and the Psukim that tell us about the great things that Chizkiah did and how we understand Chizkiah's. I just said Yechizkiah. Maral actually calls him Yechizkiah. His full name was Yechizkiyahu, but with a yod at the beginning and Hevav at the end, Yud Hevav at the end. We just called him Chizkiah, but his full name was Yechizkiyahu. So if you see it in that context of yearning for the revelation of Hashem through Geula and for the ability to serve Hashem through prayer, we gain some greater understanding of why he might have, at first glance, deserved to be Mashiach. It remains to be discussed why it didn't work out in the end. And the connection, we saw a connection to Shira. We'll see other connections. All to be left for another day. Have a good day.